Video games started off with a pretty narrow range of plot scenarios, yeah, mostly shoot 'em ups or rescue quests. But as the industry has matured, the types of games being released have expanded, particularly under indie developers. So what sort of stories do you get in video games now? And what's the impact of player agency, that's you, on the narrative? Brooke Mags is a narrative designer with the Voxel Agents and a PhD candidate in writing and literature at Deakin University. With Sky Kirkham, she's taking a quick tour through the evolution of video game stories, from a plumber battling angry monkeys to quiet interpersonal drama.
There are a few different spots that you could start, I suppose. Mario and Donkey Kong being very early examples of games with narrative where, for example, a plumber needs to defeat a, you know, monkey in order to rescue the princess, which is a very basic narrative that I guess is shown to you at certain points throughout the game, and then you play the game and then you come back and you get some story. And then there are text adventures where you would have a scene described to you by the game, it would just all be text, and then you could enter in text commands like move left or follow a path right, and then you would get another description of the scene. So all of that was very much like books, that you could make up the images in your head. I think some games drew from books, but I think that they sort of had to be their separate art form almost right away because of the fact that you have active players instead of readers. I won't say passive readers, but readers who are not, their actions are not having to be taken into account or to be considered as a character action. Immediately when you're telling story in a game, I think you need to consider the fact that you have a player who can make decisions and how you're going to lay out the narrative in a way that they engage with it. A lot of games do what's called environmental storytelling or emergent storytelling, which might be simply some spray paint on a wall that's relevant to world building.
This is how it always starts. First the building, then the whole block. They have no reason to come to our place. Don't worry, they'll find one.
When is it all going to end?
You know, it might give you an idea of the politics in the world, or it might be an event that's happening that you come across as you're running through a level as a player, and then you see someone helping someone else in a crisis. And so that's setting the scene for you. One of my favourite examples of storytelling and moral dilemma is BioShock. It's a great game where you get to make decisions about whether you behave morally or immorally, and that changes the outcome of the story.
So I ask you, my friend, if your life were the prize, would you kill the innocent? Would you sacrifice your humanity? We all make choices.
Which is probably something that you can't necessarily do in a book or a stage play. So depending on how you play the game or how you decide to play the game changes the outcome of the story. So that kind of story and experience is replayable, first of all, so you could experience the story all over again in a different way. And second of all, the experience of that narrative has grown because you've experienced two different endings of the story, so your understanding of the story is broader, and which again probably isn't something you could do with a film.
I'd like to speak to a lawyer now. Please. You have no murder weapon. You have nothing.
I think a lot of people are getting more, or game developers, more experimental with stories. So her story is so interesting because the game part of the story is you rearranging the story to try and understand what the actual outcome of events. You are you assume to be a detective of some kind who you have access to a whole ream of videos from police interviews that have happened, and then you can rearrange those videos in a way. You're essentially trying to cobble together the events according to all of these interviews that are out of order. But you can only watch about, I think it's about 10 seconds of each video, and it's clear that there's more video there, but because of the nature of the way the game lets you play, you can only watch 10 seconds. So then you need to piece together the interviews of this woman to determine if she is guilty or not of murdering her husband. That's really interesting because the way that you view the videos in certain orders changes your understanding of the narrative, so your understanding of the story is always changing.
And all these stories we've been telling each other, just that. Stories.
I'm really excited about these games that tell really interesting and different stories in terms of it's not simply the hero story anymore. I don't have to rescue someone or, you know, necessarily. It's moved away from something so simple and they tell more complicated stories. So, for example, Gone Home, which is it's a very complex story about a older sister who comes home. She's been away for a long time and she finds out what has been happening to her little sister and her family while she's been away, which is her little sister has befriended a girl at school and fallen in love with her, and her family have been trying to deal with that, but also the parents are separating or there seems to be something going on there. And that's all derived from the environment. You explore the house as part of the gameplay, is very much picking up things and looking at them. So you get to read through your younger sister's diary, you get to walk into your parents' bedroom and see a book about couples counseling under the bed. You get to go into your father's office and, you know, find his papers about trying to make it as a writer. And so all of that narrative and just walking around that environment is super interesting, you know, and it's not necessarily something that's highly science fiction or fantasy, as, you know, you might be tempted to associate with games right away. It's a story about real people, and that excites me about games because you don't see that as often.
So much has changed. New house, new school. Worst of all, my big sister's gone for a year. It doesn't feel real. But I'm not gonna let it change me. I used to tell my sister everything. And if I can't do it in person, because she's off gallivanting around who knows where, I'll tell it to this journal. Just like I was talking to her.
On our end, we're joined by Brooke Maggs. Brooke is a narrative designer with the Voxel Agents. And I asked Brooke about the game she's working on at the moment, The Gardens Between, and about how writing for a game compares to traditional creative writing.
The Gardens Between is an adventure puzzle game with no text or speech. An adventure puzzle game means that you will be taken on some kind of journey, and then you need to, as a player, solve puzzles in order to get through each of the levels. So The Gardens Between is a 3D game, so on your device you're able to slide your finger across the screen left and right, which controls the actions of the characters as they move through 3D environments or gardens. They look like little terrariums. And in each little terrarium, there are a few puzzles that the player needs to solve. And then they unlock a door at the end of the level and they can move on to the next garden. And the story is about these two young people, Arena and Frent, who fall into a strange world of gardens, all connected together by strange doorways. And they are separated. And then they need to find their way back to one another. I started writing the story first. So obviously the first thing that I need to do is communicate the story to the development team, because the artist, the animator, the game designer all need to know what the story is, what the tone is, who the characters are, in order to draw them with their personalities, to have them act in a way that's relevant to their personalities. Because we have no speech, they don't say anything to each other. A lot of gestures and, I guess, pantomime was really important to convey how they're feeling at any point in time. So we have these small cutscenes that are scripted and that they act those out. We also have very distinct colour palettes for each section of the narrative. So at the start, the gardens are smaller, they're beautiful, lush and green. And then when Arena and Frent are separated, they become orange and brown and sort of darker in the middle of the story. And then a storm besets the gardens. So we're using weather to tell story now and show drama. I started out just relying on my creative writing background and knowledge. So I would write little short stories about what each of these gardens were about. I would write synopses. I would write world treatments and character profiles and things like that, which was helpful to an extent to brainstorm ideas about what The Gardens Between would be about. But it didn't translate to the development team, because nothing of what was in there was telling them what to put on screen to tell the story, especially because they can't, we couldn't put any dialogue on the screen or any of the descriptions that I was writing or anything like that. So I started off by writing simpler narratives, and then I moved into using Lego to prototype how a little 3D garden might look. So I thought, okay, this this garden is going to be about Irina by herself and she's alone. So I made a big landscape that looked unfriendly and unwelcoming, that dwarfed her in many aspects. I wrote a short story about how she was feeling and then condensed the feeling of that short story into a poem, though I'm not a poet, I have to say, but it was good to crystallize that feeling. And then I would put some ideas for puzzles that could be in there that required her to be, you know, alone and sort of trying to pair that game design. And I'd hand it over to the development team and talk to them about that. And that was good because we could
sort of hand this Lego statue over.
Yeah, exactly. We have them up in our office, all the little Lego statues that were created. And that was good to a certain extent as well. But what it brought me to that process was the position of narrative designer, which means that not necessarily the same thing in the games industry. There might be people who are writers and simply write scripts, and then the narrative designers brief those writers about what to write and how to keep it in world. Because I'm the only writer on the team, I need to do both. And narrative designing is then how do we tell the story with game design? So taking into consideration player goals and motivations, which are not necessarily the same thing as character goals and motivations. Irina and Frent want to find one another. As a player, I might be interested in that, but I might also just be interested in solving puzzles. But the solution for us was to try and match those things very closely. So the incentive to solve the puzzles is to bring the characters together. So we're trying to make that separation moment very heartbreaking so that players are motivated to, you know, continue with the puzzles and explore and be interested in the environments, which is also what our artist concentrates on, you know, making them environments that people will want to explore and look for the solutions to the puzzles. And also the narrative, we get some more narrative at the end of each garden as player motivation and incentive. So there are a lot of different things to consider, but coming to telling that story was very much taking a design perspective and sitting with each of the team members and understanding what they need from me more specifically.
Brooke Maggs. She's a video game narrative designer with the Voxel Agents. Interesting job for a creative writer, huh?